you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. This week, relatively new band called Black Light District. Every once in a while, I'll hear a band that I really dig, and I'm like, let's get those dudes or chicks or whoever on the show. And this time it was Black Light District. Really cool dude. He performs live on the show as well. Remember, we do it every Wednesday, every Saturday. If you're a fan of Black Light District, you could have heard this 5 days ago without a commercial in HD at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR. You get a 7-day free trial. And if you're listening to this before the end of the month of November, if you have a friend that's a subscriber at Gas Digital, you could ask them to gift you a 30-day free trial. It's just that easy. Or listen anywhere or watch on YouTube where you can listen and watch for free 5 days later. We just want you to share the love. That's all we care about. So here it is right now, the Black Light District episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone fuck the hoes. It's weed, I'm beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, it's far. You need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I don't say officially my permanent co-host, but he's very close to it. My permanent secondary co-host? How would I put that? I don't know what's the right way to put it, James?
The love of your fucking life.
All right, fair enough. I'll say that. He is my go-to second commander. Is that fair?
Second banana. I've been second banana my whole life. I'm okay with it, baby.
It's been Big JRU for quite a long time, so that's been going on for a while. Thanks for coming back to the show. Shannon looking very bright and colorful. Thank you for being a part of the show as well. And now, this dude, I'll say, is very interesting. I love when this happens. I see a band. This is what happens in the interest of pulling back the curtain. We get in options for bands all the time. Sometimes I know them, don't know them, or have an inkling of them, whatnot. And I kind of knew this band because there was a hit that went crazy big a few years ago called Cold as Ice. And I think you had to work hard to avoid that song. It was 100 million plus streams, so whatever. But then I do the deep dive and I find him to be fascinating. The name of the band is Black Light District. I think originally that was your alter ego, and then it just became the name of the band, and you go by Kyle. Is that right?
Kind of. It gets confusing over the years. It's kind of the opposite way. We started it as a band, you know, when I was a teenager, just local friends and shit like that, and just came up with the name Black Light District. And basically over the years, it came down to me being the last man standing for some time. So as you mentioned, that song Cold as Ice went viral on YouTube in 2017. The Minecraft video, 70 minutes, crazy. But when that happened, a lot of these fans that were discovering that I was a guy named Blacklight District, as so many solo artists now these days,
right?
A la The Weeknd or whatever.
Right. Or even Marilyn Manson for that part, you know? Yeah,
right, exactly. So I basically just kind of rolled with it, and that's where we're at. You know?
Right. And so before I get into other questions, does the name have any significance? I mean, obviously there's a red light district. What does Black Light District mean, or does it not really? It just sounded cool to you guys.
Pretty much, man. It sounded cool. I mean, the first name.
I love the honesty.
I wish it was a better story, but the first name was Deadlocked, LOC apostrophe T. You know, you got to be cool and put that.
Boy.
And then we went to Danger Taint.
Danger Taint?
Taint?
Dangertainment, like entertainment.
Oh, I thought Danger Taint. I was really into Danger Taint.
That would have been a good one, though.
I think you run it back and go, Danger Taint. Let's go.
Oh, Danger Taint. I fucking love.
I missed out on that one, but
time to shift gears.
That's a fucking great name. You could have that one, Kyle. Take it. Danger Taint. No worries.
It literally was. What about like the red light district we brought up? And my friend at the time was like, dude, let's make it metal like Black Sabbath and call it Black Lights.
So okay, fair. Okay, and also, by the way, we're going to get into a lot of this. I love that you do everything on your own and so much of that you've accomplished. But I was looking at your merch store, and not to start off on a sour note, but I'm going to start off on a sour note.
Go ahead.
How the fuck does a guy that's so good in the, not only you're big with gamers, you touch the Minecraft videos where millions, I think like 200 million streams of the fucking Minecraft redos of your song and all the shit. you're big in the gaming world, etc. How do you not sell a black light in your store?
That's a good one. I've never been asked that before. But shit, I just don't.
I mean, it's so stupid. A branded black light. You're big with gamers. They all use black lights. Like, right. How do you not do it? Big in the college world. It makes all the sense in the world to me. So, again, take the name, take the idea. They're all yours, buddy.
Right. Well, hey, I might run with that. So don't be surprised if you see the brand new Blacklight District Blacklight for sale soon.
Yes. I mean, it seems like every once in a while I look at bands and I get so angry when they don't do things that to me seem so straightforward. James?
I think you should call it the Danger Taint Blacklight. Let's just put it all together and let's go. There's no half pregnant, my dude. Let's go the whole way with this shit.
Why not? I'm done.
All right. So the new album with this, I believe, and I could be wrong. I think it is the fourth actual album. No, sorry. The third actual album. Am I right?
That's
and
correct.
It's called 1990, which is the year that you are born. And it makes me fucking annoyed. He's only 31 and fucking hurts me. But what's interesting is that in that time frame, late 80s, early 90s, when rock ruled the world. Right. And I think from what I've read, this album, you've always had kind of like a cross genre vibe, but this album seems to be where you're embracing your rock. I don't want to say rock roots because you're only 31. You can't really have roots at 31 into rock roots, but your love of like Ozzy and all things rock and roll, so much so you brought Brett on board from fans of rock and roll. He did Dark New Day. He was in Creed. And this is where this came from, correct?
That's correct, man. So, you know, to make a long story short, you know, 7-8 years ago, I did my first, like, I don't know if you want to call it like major, whatever, like my first time really being in the business, had a label manager. And Brett Hassler, who you mentioned, he was the bass player for Creed, singers of a bunch of bands, but he's a multi-platinum producer nowadays. We made a record back then. There was a song on it called With Me Now. This has all been taken down since then. This was real early, but there's a channel on Sirius XM called Octane. It's like their rock channel. They started playing the shit out of this song. It was number one for 6 weeks, top 10 for 6 months. And that was awesome. You know, it was my first top 40 single. I got to go on tour. You know, about a year later, I had a real falling out with my label and manager at the time. And that's a whole other story we can get into. But basically, you know, shit happened, kind of, you know, personnel changes. That's where I was kind of the last man standing. I've been, you got to understand too, bro, growing up, you know, obviously loving Ozzy, Metallica, Guns N' Roses. My dream was to play in front of 20,000 people, have the platinum records. And it just, you know, I saw having a big rock hit that it almost felt like there was a ceiling on how far you could go in the rock world these days. Yeah, exactly. So I was, you know, influenced by, you know, a lot of these rappers that are coming up, like the Post Malone, the Weeknds of the world. And basically the last couple of years, I really started adding a bit more of the hip hop 808 trap sound into the songs. Last year, I had a song called Falling. Sirius XM, The Pulse, which is a pop channel, added the song.
Right. So that song actually went to like top five on YouTube at one point, too.
Number three trending on YouTube the day the video came out, man. It was the PlayStation 5 commercial, the Bill and Ted trailer, and my video. Falling. It's insane, man, to get 1 million views first 24 hours. And like you said, the Minecraft videos themselves have done about 200 million. And I'm about to close in on 500 million streams independently. It's fucking amazing.
It's so fucking cool. It's so cool that you're doing it all on your own. And that's so unique. And it's great to hear that. But now I want to the interesting part to me that I want to go back a little bit. As you said, you started about 7-8 years ago. And not to be emotional here or deep, but I think it's part of your story that you started writing songs to cope with the death of your mother. And that's how you came to be as an artist. Is that that's what happened, right?
That's 100% what happened. So 7-8 years ago is when I basically got into the business. Obviously, I spent, you know, a lot of years just, you know, locally trying to make things happen. So, yeah, when I was 9 years old, my mom died of a heroin overdose. And I had never lived with her. I was always with my grandparents, her parents, and I'd see her here and there. And it was just, man, I mean, I'm sure you can imagine, it's just one of those things. So, you know, having her come and go, it'd be one of those situations where she'd say, okay, I'm going to the store. You'd watch her get in the car and you wouldn't see her for 3 weeks type thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of shit that, like, you know, it's coming. But again, 9 years old, you don't really know how to, you know, I guess, handle the trauma
or process it at all in any capacity.
So yeah, that's, you know, shortly after that, my uncle played me Ozzy Osbourne's No More Tears. And that was the first time since my mom died that I guess just, you know, felt like everything felt okay. And that was really the start of me being obsessed with music 20 years later.
I'm going to drop a name right now. If you could watch me drop it physically, while we're taping this, just a few nights ago, I was with Zach Wilde, who played guitar on that record. He's done the show a couple of times, and I went to go see him at Irving Plaza, and it was such a great lineup. It was Black Label Society, Obituary, and Prong. It was a metal show. It was crazy. So it felt like it was kismet today when I read that your favorite album was No More Tears, and I was just with the dude that helped write that record, which is pretty cool.
Also, Zach Wilde is Ralph's best friend, just so that you know.
I have texts from his wife saying that I'm his BFF. I'll tell you that right now.
Hey, that... I will say that is totally awesome because, of course, I love Zach Wilde. Still do, big influence on me. You know?
Did you ever meet him?
I never got to meet Zach. I did meet Ozzy, though.
So. Oh, that's probably slightly cooler.
And I mean, of course, I got to show, like, my first tattoo was an Ozzy logo. And again, so we just met briefly. He was doing a book signing out in Huntington Beach, and I happened to be there. My manager called me, and it was just a quick hello. But dude,
is this back when his book came out, when he put out his autobiography? Yeah. I interviewed him twice, one over the phone, one in person. The one in person was on that same tour.
Oh, no.
I got to meet him and hang out with him, and it could not have been fucking cooler, dude. It's just amazing.
Dude, I mean, again, it's like, you know, growing up and like obsessing over this guy and knowing the stories. And so to be there sitting in a room, you know, a few feet apart, man, it's like surreal feeling, you know, it's cliche.
I remember him saying the same exact thing about meeting me. Like, he's heard all the stories and he was so excited.
Right.
I'm like, that's all right, man. I appreciate it. So, I mean, the thing that's nice about that is it's a story. Not that it's nice that your mother passed, but saying the story about how you take a god awful tragedy and then figure out a way to make something positive out of that. And that is what launched your career. But then the crazy thing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, that then your career starts to go up on another upward mobility. And then was it your father or your stepfather that passed away also, right?
No, it was my father. So, yeah. So this is how sometimes I tell people that for a while there, I'm not in this place anymore, but for a while there, it felt like my life was like a fucking horror movie that just never ended. So bringing up the father thing, 2017, right as that song Cold as Ice just blew up, I was just in the hospital with my third bout of pancreatitis.
Oh, no.
Which is brought on by alcoholism as well, right? Yeah. So let's call a spade a spade. Although I hear that's a racist statement, though I don't think it is.
No, but again, you know, going on the road.
I'm being serious, by the way. I just heard you can't say that statement anymore.
You can't say spade a spade.
But even though it has nothing to do, I know, Shannon, you made a face that you're going to smack me in the face. I just read online that people are considering that a racist statement, even though it's referring to the equipment, but because that there's a racial connotation to that word, you're not supposed to say it anymore, even though it has nothing to do with that word. I'm just saying.
I shook my head because I thought you were making a joke, because I've heard that joke a lot. Yeah,
I know, but that's why I'm being clear that it's not a joke. It's anyway. Sorry, continue.
No, that's good. I mean,
I'm just gonna smack Shannon later. That's all.
Balance it all out, Ralph. Don't say spade a spade, but hit a woman. Let's fucking do it. There it is.
Hey, if I'm gonna be good on one side, it's yin and yang, my friend. Yin and yang.
You can't say that either. You can't say that.
Why is there some dude named Ying? What the hell's going on?
I'm sure there's a guy named Yang that didn't like that.
Shit, by the time this is all over.
I identify as a Yang. I think
we're gonna start, and here's our interview with Black Light District. And we'll go, okay, thanks for coming on, and that's gonna be it.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway.
Yeah, my father, I didn't know him real well. When I was a kid, I'd see him here and there. Never really thought about it much. You know, 2013, 14, he kind of started reaching out. He came up here. He came and met me in California, met my son, who's technically his grandson, blah, blah, blah. And then he started sending me these like suicidal texts. You know, he'd send me something like, Kyle, just so you know, I always loved you, even when I was convinced we were of no relation. You're going to hear things about me. And then his wife would call and say, oh, don't worry about him. He's just upset. And then 2 weeks before he died, he called me. He's like, man, you know, I've never told anyone this, but I never got over your mom, blah, blah, blah. And it was just so crazy. Again, for me, you think this chapter of your life is closed, and then this guy comes back in, brings all this shit up again, and then,
kills himself, which is like, it's almost like how, I mean, I don't know what saying it would be easier if he didn't do that part, but the fact that he rekindled some sort of relationship with his estranged son and then kills himself not that long after, no wonder you were, you know, dealing with alcoholism. How could you not be?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it felt like, man, because it's like, wow, we don't have a relationship this whole time. And then, you know, he comes in, we start building a relationship again, meeting up. You know, he knows my grandparents from back in the day, blah, blah, all this stuff just to do that. Not only that. So what happened there was I had just gotten out of the hospital for my third pancreatitis. And you got to imagine the hospital says, look, you can't drink anymore.
Right.
But every time I go in the hospital, I'm prescribed opioids and opiates and painkillers and things like that. So I get out of the hospital 2 days later. I get his suicide note in the mail. God, tiny little thing. Like, it was the weirdest thing. Papers that were cut into like a tiny little shape, stapled together. Very
Jesus
short.
Christ.
So anyways, I'm popping pills, you know, like painkillers and stuff. So that turned into a fentanyl addiction.
Oh, and no.
2 days ago, I'm 10 months sober off the fentanyl. But yeah, at the beginning of the year, man, I had to go into treatment. No fucking joke, bro. I was snorting 40 pills a day, spending about $15,000 a month, going through 500 of them a week.
Well, thank God your streams are doing well to pay that lifestyle, for God's sake.
Oh, my God.
For real. That was actually part of the problem, is that I was taking all the success and using it as an excuse to be like, fuck, man, you know, making money, let's party, I can't drink. It's and again, the opiates, it doesn't feel so street because it's coming from the doctor, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of like, well, yeah, I kind of know it's not, but you know what I'm saying? And then of course my mind just pretty soon, dude, I couldn't wake up in the morning without taking two of these pills. You go into these withdrawals real fast, and it was just a nightmare. So to kind of wrap that up, you know, again, I'm sitting there with an 8-year-old son, and it almost reminds me of me being the 8-9-year-old.
Right.
Yeah, my mom who died, dad who died, all from opiates. Here I am addicted to the most powerful opiate there is. So that's why I was like, dude, I had to say fuck that. And I had to suffer and go through the withdrawals. And yeah, man, 10 months.
10 months over. And I mean, it's first of all, congratulations. But second of all, do you remember that day where you're like, okay, I'm done. Yeah. I'm going forward. Was there a catalyst for it, or is something you don't want to talk about, or?
I'll talk about anything, but okay. So basically I'm married, been married almost 4 years now. My wife is not into drugs, drinking, none of that shit, but so she
Amber Rice or something, right?
Yep. Yeah. Amber Pfeiffer now, but yes.
Right, yeah. Sorry, excuse me.
But,
get your shit together, Ralph.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was just like, you know, I don't know how many more times I could convince her that I had a headache when I'm sitting there shaking. And again, so about a year prior to this, I had a fentanyl relapse and I was on it for several months, got off of it, went 80 days, bro. And I swear to you, I never got my energy back. Like, it just, it fucks your brain up so bad. So then you get on these other medications, and it's just, I, at the end of the day, I'm just happy again, a little over 10 months now, not snorting drugs, living life, actually feeling my emotions, therapy, this and that, you know, so. But, I mean, you know, like you said earlier, bro, taking a tragedy and trying to turn it as positive as possible.
Right, which is fucking awesome. All right, fans of this show, you know these guys. They've been a sponsor for so long, and they are just a great company. It is Blue Chew and their chewables. They're a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. It helps achieve longer, harder, stronger erections, and combats all forms of erectile dysfunction. You know how it works. You head on over to BlueChew.com, one of their licensed medical providers they'll match you up with. You'll get approved online if you qualify. And then within a few days, you're going to get that first order sent to you for free if you use the code SDR at BlueChew.com. Their chewables will come to you pretty damn quickly. No more waiting in line at the doctor's office. No awkward conversations. No worrying about it at the pharmacy, etc. It ships in a discreet package to your door directly, all starting with going to BlueChew.com. Once again, BlueChew.com. Use the code SDR, and it's time for all of us to enjoy stronger, harder erections. Ain't that right? All right, let's get back into it. And then also, almost like if there is a God, which I don't believe, but if there was a God who throws another insult at you, is like, all right, so what? We got rid of his parents. He's clean now. What else can we do? All right, let's make him need a fucking hip replacement.
Oh, my God.
Just for fucking shits and giggles. And then you wrote this whole album, basically old school acoustic guitar, recovering from hip surgery this whole year. I mean, 2020, I think it was, right? Ended this year. No, it was this year. Yeah. Beginning of this year. I always get my COVID brain always forgets fucking confused. But this year, that's when that happened, right? Is that correct? This whole year is recovery.
A whole year, man. January 5th is the day I went to rehab. And then again, you know, so May 28th, right at the start of the summer, break my fucking hip in two spots, rollerblading out in front of my house with my son. He rides one of those little push scooters, you know, and my wife got these rollerblades a year ago. So I got a pair just for the hell of it.
And is it easier to wear the rollerblades than to come out and tell everyone you're homosexual? Is that why you do that?
Something like that.
Ralph, you're calling a spade, Ralph. You sure are today.
Yeah, no. And again, it was really more for him just to fuck around a little bit, have something to ride. So again, you know, these things are heavy. I knew I was going to fell. This is where the shit gets interesting, though, bro. Fall. I know I thought I broke my leg or something. I mean, I was screaming in agony for a minute, almost uncontrollably. And, you know,
in front of your son, by the way, right? Your son's right there. Uh-oh. Jesus. Yeah,
he saw it. He was laughing when I fell. He thought it
was- Well, that's fucking metal as shit, dude. So you're raising him right.
Until he knew it was serious, you know. So anyways, get in there. Of course, I get in the ambulance. You know, I tell him, look, I've had these opiate issues and all that. But because it's such a severe injury, we all decide that we need to use this. So of course, they want to use this fentanyl, right? So I should preface this by saying there's like another medication I was on at the time that's like maintenance, like a Suboxone type, if you guys have ever heard of that. Something that opiate addicts take to like wean off the opiates. Mm-hmm. But it's also an opiate blocker so that you can't go out and, you know, if I relapsed, I wouldn't get the high from it, basically.
Okay.
So in the ambulance, they give me two shots of fentanyl to zero pain relief. Of course, in my head, I start feeling the buzz, you know, but again, the hip is all I'm thinking about. Get in the hospital a couple hours later. Finally, that night, they decide they're going to give me fentanyl and ketamine. So it's not just opioids the whole time, you know. So they give me the fentanyl. Again, I'm not getting any pain. I'm literally suffering. The bone in my hip is completely unstable. I mean, it makes me shiver thinking, you know. Jesus. So real quick, the nurse comes in about 12:30 at night. She comes over to my IV. Next thing I know, bro, no shit, I'm waking up. There's 10 plus doctors around me, shaking me, rubbing my chest. Sir, are you okay? Are you there? Blah, blah. I was like, I had no clue. Didn't remember my hip. Like, I was just like, what the hell's going on? They're like, we had the Narcan. You overdosed on the fentanyl right in the fucking hospital.
Oh my God.
And that was the scariest shit because I'd never OD'd before. So again, I'm waking up and like you mentioned, bro, I'm not a religious guy. You know, I'm not into that thing. But when I went unconscious, like something happened, like I was, you know, either my brain was hallucinating or something, but I had some experience where I was just totally conscious and aware, not of the situation, but I was like somewhere else. And then all of a sudden it was just the strangest thing
wild. And then though, so that surgery was in May. Is that right? Roughly. Yep. Okay. Yep. So then, since May, you've been recovering. I don't know how long it takes to get fucking better from a two hip broken surgery. Are you walking on your own volition right now? Do you need a cane or what?
I'm still on the cane a bit. I'm walking by myself now, though. You know, I still got a bit of a limp, but, you know.
Oh, if you would have fell right there, man, that would have been fucking awesome.
Especially if your kid walked in at the same time and started laughing with us.
Yeah.
That would have been timing. That would have been awesome. I bet you have a real metal cane, though. Do you got like a skull on the end? What do you got?
Dude, come on. Let me show you this.
Tell me you got Ozzy up on that
James
shit.
James is nailing it, I feel. I had to
go with something stylish here, you know?
Look at that. Come on, dog. Fucking badass cane.
Look at my boy doing it. Look at you.
my wife jokes and like, where are the hoes? When are they coming in?
Yeah,
of course. So.
In a way, what a great time to break your hip in that it's fucking, you know, no one's touring. So if you're going to spend time home alone, this was the time to do it. So that's great.
And you know, I had to sit on the recliner chair for almost 3 months. I mean, I could get around on the crutches, but man, that first month. And again, yikes. Because obviously they're not going to prescribe me painkillers. So, you know, I just had to go through it, man. And kind of like you said earlier, so forcing me to stay in there, going through the counseling therapy of the recovery, being a few months sober at the time, breaking the hip. I started playing acoustic guitar, writing on a pad and paper, just like how you used to back in the day. Nowadays, I do everything on the computer. A song starts with a MIDI keyboard and blah, blah. So I guess that just really inspired me, you know, because it'd been so long since I'd done a real
rock. Had you ever written a song that way where you wasn't involved with computers, where you just sat with a pen and paper and acoustic guitar prior to this?
I mean, when I was like 13 or something, you know, but But not really, man. So just a whole new experience. I hit up my old producer, Brett Hesla, because he and I made a big rock hit before. And yeah, so I always tell people I drove 2,600 miles with a broken freaking hip to make this album.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. And now, how did you meet Brett originally? Because he's, you know, talking about rock and roll cred, being in Creed. Dark New Day was a great band. I don't know if they still do anything. But, and Virgos Merlot, I'll tell you something funny about them. If I remember the band correctly, because I remember the name. Are they the band that used to wear suits and eyes? Like they have like, okay. So they did the dumbest thing. They would wear like really cool suits. They were a metal band, rock band, and they wore like devil eyes, all of them. Yep. And they had to play it down. You can ask him about this, and I could be wrong, but I kind of remember the story. Maybe he wasn't in the band at the time, but he was a singer, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep. And they had to play the Downtown Music Festival in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was like 100 degrees out. And boy, did that outfit and eye choice not work well at that festival. They had to end their set early. Like it was a shit show from what I remember. I could be wrong on the details, but that's the thing I remember most about Virgos Merlot.
That probably sounds about right, man. I mean, yeah, it's funny because no, they don't do anything and neither does Dark New Day right now. But
Brett had one big song. I forget the song.
It was called Brother.
Yeah. That was a big hit. That was a good song.
I actually saw them back in like 2004 when that was happening, opening for Seether and Crossfade. And it was just so funny because that Brother was a huge hit at the time. Who would have known many years later he and I'd be working together? But
and now you're like brothers.
Kind of getting there. But
worked it in there. Yeah, and we just had Seether on the show, so it works even better now.
Yeah, I just watched that. I watched your guys stuff. But yeah, no, so my manager is a guy named Jeff Hansen, and he discovered Creed in his bar and signed them. And he discovered people like, you know, Paramore, rock bands like Seven Dust. So
I actually know Jeff because I'm close with Seven Dust. Jeff's been on Shiprocked a few times and I host Shiprocked. Yeah. And so I've met him a few times.
Oh, no shit. Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah. So he managed me. He introduced me to Brett when I moved to Orlando back in the day to start working with him. And yeah, just pretty much through management. And here we are. You know?
Yeah, and it's cool because, I mean, I listen to really, to my knowledge, there's only Got to Get Out of Here right now that's released from 1990, the new record, and it's very much a straightforward, cool rock and roll song where, there's a song that you did years ago called Living in a Nightmare that was like a straightforward rock song. So it felt like kind of like that, you know, and I am sure that this is the goal to get on some like rock packages when the world reopens.
Absolutely. Yep. I got four different tours. We're kind of negotiating right now. 2019 in the first month of 2020. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Adelita's Way.
Yeah.
The singer Rick is a good friend of mine. So I went out with them four times 2019, 2020. So we're talking about doing something again. And yeah, I definitely got other tours to do, but yeah, I'll definitely be out on the road in the new year, you know.
And am I right that this all started that your grandparents bought you a drum set at age 7 and that's how you got into music?
Dude, out of the Sears catalog. My grandma had this old Fleetwood Mac VHS tape, and I would watch this shit at 8 years old, and I was just, for some reason, I was mesmerized by the drummer, Mick Fleetwood. I don't know if you guys have seen him. He makes all those like he makes real weird faces, you know, when he's drumming. And so, yeah, I convinced them to get me a little drum set. And I played watching that VHS tape for like a year, got out of it, you know, never thought about music. And then again, my mom passed away and I happened to hear Ozzy. And literally 20 years later, I'm just as fucking obsessed as I've ever been. So,
you know, what's funny, I never noticed until recently, if you're a Mick Fleetwood fan, did you ever notice in these album covers that he wore these weird, like hanging balls that he thought were sexy? I never noticed that until recently.
Dude, I always noticed that. When I was a little kid, too, I didn't fucking... I was like, okay. But yeah, my wife just got me the Rumors album on vinyl. Mm-hmm. And those balls really stand out.
It's weird. I don't know why he thought it was cool. I never noticed it until this year. I'm like, on every album cover, he's got balls hanging from his fucking suits.
He's a weird dude. He's kind of like if like a Harry Potter professor played drums. Like he kind of is like he was at Hogwarts and decided to jam with John McVie. That's what the fuck it is.
Fair enough.
Hey, I don't disagree, bro.
All right, before we go any further, if you are listening to the show and you are over the age of 21, I want to tell you about Fully Loaded Chew. The holiday season is fast approaching, and a lot of our fans are either still smoking cigarettes or hitting vape pens. And if you are someone that does either, you know that nicotine is an addictive chemical. So I'm not suggesting that this should go out to any new users. But if you're currently smoking, vaping, or using some other dip, may I recommend
fully loaded chew. And here's why. It's the only chew with tobacco-free nicotine. And tobacco-free nicotine just simply means less bad shit in your mouth. Fully Loaded's motto is save a lip. And they come in a full line of flavors like wintergreen, mint, bourbon, peach. And also they come in different strengths. So if you're trying to wean yourself off of nicotine, you could start with the fully nicotine level there and then slowly wean yourself off of it and, you know, work your way towards not having any nicotine and maybe living longer. Why not? The team at Gas and Fully Loaded work together to put together a killer promotion offer for you. If you go to fullyloadedchew.com and use the promo code GAS1, that's gas and the number one at fullyloadedchew.com, you're going to get a free tin of Fully Loaded Chew and free shipping on any purchase you make. Once again, that is fullyloadedchew.com. Use the promo code GAS and the number one, GAS1, for a free tin, free shipping, Fully Loaded, save a lip. All right, let's get back into it.
And now something else that's kind of like a delicate topic, although we've already talked about suicide and deaths. I don't know how delicate this could be. But so during the pandemic, the height of the pandemic, so we're going 2020, like the really worst part of this all, a lot of people obviously going through very difficult times, right? And I felt weird because our network here, the listenership started going up, subscribers started going up, you know, more income was coming in. I did not want to talk about that publicly when people are going through difficult times. So I just never brought it up. And then I read that you kind of went through the same thing because 2020 was your best year ever for streams and income from that shit. And it must have been also kind of a weird thing for you as well.
That's 100% the same, man. Because again, you're watching and hearing everybody, you know, getting laid off or this isn't working or this is closing. And yeah, man, like biggest streaming year I ever had, most revenue I've ever made. I mean, my YouTube channel is about to close in on 200,000 subscribers. And again, those, you know, the views, not only on the Minecraft videos, but that was so cool about them is that these videos will come out and get millions of views their first week. But because I've started to become familiar in this gaming world, it's like you start seeing such a bigger percentage of fans coming over to your real video then. Right. And, you know, again, when I started this Minecraft thing, I had 5,000 subscribers on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Now I'm at, like I said, almost 200,000.
Can you explain this a little bit? I'm not 100%. Oh, you got the award. We just got that for one of our shows.
You get
yeah, so that's cool.
I'm proud of this shit, though, you know,
you're a winner, baby. You're a goddamn winner.
Explain to me a little bit as an old fart that doesn't really understand it so much. What this is like? I looked at them. There's Minecraft, like, and little you guys, and there's music playing. Is like, how did it even come about, and how did it explode? Do you like? Is it something you were instrumental in happening with, or it just kind of happened?
I'm pretty much instrumental in anything that happens in the Black District world. So I wear many hats, I guess, you know, not just as the artist doing the interviews and stuff, but, you know, I'm also in on the management. I work with the agents, the promote, like all of it. I'm just
you and your wife work together on AK-19 Entertainment,
AK-19
too. But
it's my label. Yep.
We'll get into that. But just explain this to me. Explain it to me. Like, I'm sure it's going to be very easy. Pretend I'm an idiot. That's easy. Explain this to me.
Okay, so I did a YouTube search of Blacklight District one time, just looking for other people that have maybe used a song or something. And I stumbled across this Nightcore video, it was called. And the video had over 1 million views, and it was my song. And I was like, damn, like 1 million views, right? Mm-hmm. But Nightcore, they basically take your song and they speed it up so you almost sound like a chipmunk singing or something. And they like to do that in this anime world. Started working with that guy because, again, views are views, right? So, you know, a couple of weeks, months go by, I start seeing, you know, again, I'm looking up anime music channels, animated music channels. I started seeing these Minecraft music videos, and one of them had like 20 million views, 10 million, 30 million. Jesus. So I hit this channel up. The channel had 1 million subscribers. This is basically what I do. It's like a cold call. I just send an email, hey, my name is Blacklight District. I have these songs, you know, would love to, because a lot of these guys, they don't want copyright claims. So if you can control the copyright, they're very open to that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the guy basically had happened to have heard of me. He was like, yeah, I just sold my channel though. He had sold his channel and was starting a new channel.
Okay.
And I guess I shouldn't say sold his channel, whatever they did. He merged it with whatever. So he starts a new channel. I was very bummed though, because I was like, damn, bro, he's got like 900 subscribers. So anyways, this kid, though, Rainamator, and he's going to be interning at Pixar. He creates these animations from scratch, like he's making a TV show based off of Minecraft. He makes characters that look
right.
Like,
it looked like a little you, right?
Gold chains, tattoos. Yeah, yeah. So basically, I'll send him like, "Got to get out of here." For example, the first song off my new album, I send him that. He either likes it or doesn't. This one he likes. And so we'll say, okay, let's partner up basically. So he'll take that song, create an entire music video in the Minecraft world based around the song, put that out. And again, with these kids in the gaming and these certain communities, Fortnite, Minecraft, Roblox type stuff, these kids are insanely passionate, man. And there are millions of them. So put out the first video. Again, keep in mind, he only had 1,000 subscribers. So I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, it'll, you know, the first day it had like 2,000 views. By the end of the first week, that first video, The Struggle, had 1,000,000 views. All of a sudden, my video starts rising. 2 weeks later, we put out Cold as Ice. That one did 3.5 million the first week, started trending. All of a sudden, it threw the song Cold as Ice top 10 in 30 countries on Apple Music, top 40 on the Billboard Mainstream Rock chart here. Serious. I mean, it just blew up like out of nowhere. Wow. And coming from my world where it's like, oh, we got to focus on radio and all these traditional outlets to promote, which really weren't delivering results like they used to. My world, radio seems to have lost its pull in terms of breaking a song in that genre. But yeah, man, Minecraft just blows this shit up. And I give it credit for launching my career to be able to make a full-time living and do all this. Like, I 100% credit.
Do you even play Minecraft?
Fuck no. I get asked that all the time and people assume, but I've never played it. No.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
It's different, man. Again, I look at it like it's outside the box promotion.
Wow.
You know, and that's what I look for. Any outside the box way of getting your music in front of people doesn't have to be radio or the traditional ways. So I look for things that are non-traditional because it shows that it's made more impact doing it that way than saying, oh, I got to come up with $50,000 to basically go bribe the radio guys to do this and that. And you're not getting good spins anyway. And I don't know who the fuck's listening.
Who is the radio anymore? It doesn't matter. Like, I came from radio. I had a show on all over the country, and that's why I left radio, because it didn't matter anymore. You know, so that's why I left it. It didn't make a fucking difference.
And it sucks, man, because, you know, it's like I'm surrounded by people in this business that's like, okay, we need to get this ad at this station. And you know how the game works, obviously. You know, the indies, you got to work with the indie promoters, the promotional fees, this and that. And look, I get that's how it works, but it's like, I've done it several times, but once you get on there, it's like, first of all, you're going right into the overnights. When you do get a light or medium rotation, you almost don't see any results from it. Like, no one hears it. So that's why I'm always focused on like Sirius XM Octane in terms of rock radio. It's still a nationwide platform, but there again, that's me shifting focus to Spotify, YouTube, Minecraft, any of these places where you actually see results and can truly make fans in a young audience.
You should think about the next platform, exploiting Pornhub.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. I literally was going over with my publicist the other day some of the marketing plans we're doing, like, you know, there's billboards and, you know, TV, and this thing popped up. I was like, you can get your audience in front of people with Pornhub advertising.
That's so great. By the way, one of our best episodes ever was this gorgeous girl, Kendra Sunderland. Somebody put the clips of it on Pornhub, and it got like, you know, 10, 20 million views just because it was her on Pornhub, you know, which is hilarious.
Right. I'm gonna remember that one. Don't be surprised.
Man, you're coming out with the black light because of me. You're going to hit Pornhub because of me, and I get nothing.
Well, hey, when you're scrolling through Pornhub and that pops up, just know that
it'll make me complete a little bit faster just because I had something to do with it.
Yes. This time you won't blow it when the pizza guy shows up in the video.
There it is. You know what I'm saying? Ralph, I'm going to make you the producer of my new special. I'm going to do a stand-up special where I have two porn stars next to me, and I'm just going to put the whole thing on Pornhub, and they're just going to stand there.
The reason why SDR got big was because we put a lot of clips on Pornhub. I get it. You know?
And I'm on the licensed blacklight district in the background. Let's go, God damn it.
God damn it. You're always thinking, James.
I'm called the thinking man for a reason, baby. Right. No one calls me that.
Speaking of hitting different platforms and stuff, it seemed like you started a podcast for like 2 weeks and then gave up on it.
Yeah. No, I do have a podcast out on Spotify.
Two episodes.
I kind of started it off by telling everyone that I'm not going to be doing it on a consistently like you know, bi-weekly basis.
Well, whatever. You nailed that part, I'll tell you that.
I did. So there'll be more podcasts in the future, but I have to work with my publicity team to like launch it and all that. So kind of test episodes, but it's definitely out there.
And also, you grew up very close to Sturgis and Spearfish. And I hosted the Sturgis rally for like 6 years. Have you gone to a few of the rallies?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, man. Oh, no shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I hosted the Full Throttle Saloon for 6 years in a row. Me and Jesse James Dupree from Jackal, you know, he's a part owner over there. We went, I hosted that for 6 years. It's pretty wild, but it's been a long time since I've been there. Once they put campgrounds on Full Throttle. Yeah. And once I found out that I'd have to do communal showers and shit in an outhouse, I stopped going.
Yikes.
And they burned down too.
So yeah, after that was right before they burned down was the last time I was there. And then when they brought it back, they put the campgrounds on.
Right.
And I did not want to do that. I know I'm such a city boy puss, but I don't want to shower with a group of dudes. I don't want to take a shit in an outhouse. I don't think that's unreasonable.
I'm right there with you, bro. Trust me. But yeah, no, Sturgis, I was actually supposed to play at the Buffalo Chip this year. I was going to kick off the chip, which is probably the biggest Sturgis.
It is, yeah.
You know, of course, with the hip, I wasn't able to do that. So I had to pull out, as they say. But I did play there last year during fucking COVID, of course. So, hey, third year's the charm, bro. We'll see what happens. You know?
Buffalo Chip is wild. I've been there a few times as well. Never hosted anything there. But, you know, they're so close to each other. You go back and forth depending on who's playing and stuff.
All right. Before we go any further, hey there, responsible adults who are over the age of 21 and living in the states where Delta 8 is legal. You want to get high? Want to get really high? Want to get super duper legally high? Well, now's the time to go to yoDelta.com where you can stock up on high quality lab tested Delta 8. I can just tell you, I know everyone around Gas Digital fucking loves this shit. I mean, they want it more than they want the regular weed. They say, you got the Delta 8? Is there any Delta 8 in this? You know, because we get sometimes some extra shit floating around the office and they all scurry like cockroaches for that Delta 8 because they love it so much. If you're over the age of 21 and living in a majority of the states where it is legal, go to yoDelta.com and stock up on Delta 8. What is Delta 8? Well, it's found in hemp and can be legally shipped to various states. And more importantly, it definitely gets you high. So head on over to yoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. And if you use the code GAS, that's G-A-S, you're going to get 25% off. Once again, the promo code GAS just gets you 25% off. How simple is that? Use the code GAS at yoDelta.com. Get 25% off. YoDelta, home of the Delta 8 that gets you super high. All right, let's get back into it.
We're going to have you do a song. Then we're going to come back and talk about AK-819 and what's going on for the rest of this year. So I understand you need a minute to set up. And we're going to have you play. What song are you doing live?
I am doing a really rough acoustic version of my first single, Gotta Get Out of Here. Again, I haven't had a lot of time to rehearse this, so bear with me, but you'll get the point here.
Okay, great. Let's do it, Shannon.
Alive. I've been holding back all skin glowing red. I can't live with regret. So hold on tight. We leave tonight. Turn out the light. I'm on my way. Gotta get out of here. It's not too late. Coming in crystal clear. I'm on my way. Feels like a thousand years.
All right, there it is. A special version just for us on the SDR show. Thank you so much, dude. That was awesome.
Appreciate it.
So now we only have the one song. Like, what's the plan of from this point till the end of the year or to 2022? What's going on?
So the second single from the album is called Clear Skies, and that will be out on Black Friday, November 26th. And then the album itself will come out on December 31st, New Year's Eve, 10 songs. So, you know, you're getting another single at the end of this month and then the full album at the end of next month. And again, you know, just this song I just performed, Got to Get Out of Here, last week, you know, I still do, like we were talking about radio, you know, you still do work radio a bit. So it is the number one most added song at rock radio, debuted at number 39 on the Billboard Mainstream Rock Indicator chart in week one, which is a first for me to debut.
Oh, right. Wow. Now.
40. So, and again, shout out to SiriusXM Octane for showing so much love on this song. They've been playing it. It's just the response I've been seeing. And again, going back to this kind of heavy rock thing, not worried so much about, oh, is this going to be a hit? Is there enough hip hop or pop influence? It was all about just making awesome songs that we liked. You know what I'm saying? And over the years, building up this fan base, man, the fans are loving it. So yeah, I'm just excited to get this album out and hit the road in the new year.
Did you worry at all? Because, you know, a lot of your previous music does have hip hop influence, and this is not right. That your fan base would be like, well, what the fuck is this right now? This is not the Blacklight district that I'm used to.
For sure. The only reason I wasn't as worried about it is because, like, you know, I talked about when I did this first album with Brett many years ago, I had kind of a rock hit out of the gate.
Right.
So it almost felt more concerning going to the hip hop and pop stuff, worrying about how people were going to react to that. And I think, again, with all my partners and promotion and all the shit I've done over the last couple of years, I've really learned that at the end of the day, at least with my fan base, it's all about the song. If the song is badass and a banger, it doesn't seem like people care so much as the style. But on the flip side of that, putting out a song like Gotta Get Out of Here, going completely rock, to see my fans, and you can see it on the comments, say, dude, I've been fucking waiting for this. I love this. I love the fact that I can just express myself creatively, and I don't have to be, you know, stuffed into one box and I can only make this or only make that, you know?
If that's it's great. I mean, I think that's every artist's dream, because they're always worried that if they do traverse outside of their lane, that their fan will be like, well, this isn't what I signed up for. So to be in that situation is an awesome one. And now all three of these albums are through your AK19 Entertainment. Your wife is part of it as well. Are there other artists you're bringing on board? Like, what's the plan here?
So basically, we started AK19 Entertainment basically to be the company for like Blacklight District and all the, because again, you know, the last couple of years, the revenue, and we basically had to turn this into a real company. So my wife, she, you know, business degrees and all that kind of stuff. She had a real nice job doing her thing on a salary. So just the fact that we were able to have her quit her job and all those benefits just to use her skills here was an awesome accomplishment. And again, it's just, you know, it's amazing to own your music nowadays. Like, we're just talking about how artists can't, you know, get out of one lane, because I'm more of like an online / digital artist where I'm not just known in the radio world for one style. I think nowadays with artists like me, you're more you can do more. You don't have to be stuck in one lane. As far as other artists, there's a few that I've been working with, I've recorded with, nothing officially coming out as of right now. But we have a full staff, like I said, a publicity department, agents, managers. So it's just cool to have over 10 employees.
That's wild. Congratulations. That's awesome. And I don't know if you're interested, but you know, James is putting out a song. He's had an album out, and maybe you could...
I'm looking for opportunities, man. You know, I got my guitar here. Let's go. Let's figure it out.
Let's do it. Yeah, no. So, and again, you know, I am totally grateful for the situation I'm in. Again, just to be able to make a living, make music, and basically live the dream in a way, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I have no complaints. I'm just happy I get to create music. That's literally what I'm alive for. So.
That's awesome. And then also, apparently you're a big WWE guy, which so is James. And I watched you do the choke slam to someone in a ring and you looked happy as shit.
Dude, it was so awesome. So yeah, this last week I went to Wisconsin and I shot two videos. One for that song Clear Skies I mentioned coming out Black Friday, and another one that's going to come out when the album comes out. But my director, you know, we go over ideas and he's like, dude, I can get us a wrestling ring and real wrestlers.
Strong.
If you do something with this video. So I was like, dude, of course. But knowing my fucking luck, I got this broken hip and I can't do much in the ring. But I was able to deliver one decent choke slam. But again, bro, there again, the reason I named my album 1990 is because it's like it's like a total reset for me with the sobriety. Going back to the hard rock stuff. And really for me, it was just going about life and finding things that were important to me and incorporating it into the album or the visuals. And I'm glad we got to do that with the wrestling shit. That song is called Someone Was Out There. And you guys have to check out that video soon for sure.
Awesome. That we definitely will. All right, Shannon, it's time for the first.
The first time ever I saw
the name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We every episode we end by asking your experience with all three. We start with rock and roll. We mean the first concert you went to, ideally on your own volition, but maybe the story of another one is better. But that's what the first question is.
First concert was ZZ Top at
Get
the
Out.
Yep. 2004. Went with my cousin. I was so fucking excited because I'd never been to a concert. And it was awesome, man. I mean, you know, with the trading the beads and back in the day, the ladies would, you know, flash and stuff. And I was just mind blown. Like this world exists out here. People walking around half naked partying. It was cool, man. You know, again, being a kid and
that's awesome.
Like that, so
yeah. And now the first drug you ever did, ideally after pot, unless pot's not the first drug you ever did.
I can't remember if it was coke or ecstasy. One of those two, though. I'm pretty sure it was ecstasy. Yeah. Obviously I was drinking and smoking some weed and things like that. And around here, I'd be like, oh, some dude's got a couple ecstasy pills. So did that. Yep. It was ecstasy. Me and two other friends just sat up in this dude's basement, popped this ecstasy, listened to some music for like 6 hours. And I was fucked up, man, for sure.
And now the first time you had sex.
First sex, very awkward for me. I was so scared. I mean, my God, I was terrified. Like, of course, I wanted to do it. But when it finally came time down to, okay, take your pants off, I was like, oh, my God. Like,
well, I mean, if a girl said it to me that way, I'd be terrified also. Okay, mister, take your pants off.
That takes the shine off it a little, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a 20-second experience. And
how old were you?
I think I was 14 or 15.
Oh, that's pretty fucking young. That's pretty good.
Decently young. I mean, there. Believe me, there's shit I'm not saying right now that is just real with what happened there. But I'm embarrassed. But so this girl from the neighborhood, you know, same age as me. And I had this other friend who was like my best friend at the time. All three of us were like virgins, you know. So she was like, well, I want to lose my virginity and I'd rather have it be with one of you guys since we're like friends, because we were just friends, like just hang out, young kids. And this chick, she wanted to have a threesome for the first time.
Wow. I love that girl.
Was this a Stephen King novel?
Yeah. So everyone was like, okay, I guess we'll try it. So at like, you know, we all snuck out of our house, and keep in mind, my friend lived like two blocks up the street. So, you know, 1 a.m, finally sneak out of the house, get up there. The girl's there. He's there. They're like in this little room and they kind of start doing some shit. And I was just like, oh my God, I got to get out of here. Like, no pun intended with the song title, but I ended up leaving. I let them do their thing because I couldn't do it. So.
Wow. So little Kyle Pfeiffer turned down his first threesome at age 14.
That's true. Very
wow,
true.
Wow. That's a good story. I like that story.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do?
He had a heart of gold, James, at 14. He couldn't do that. He didn't want to defile her in that way.
I mean, that's the wildest thing ever. You check that off the box right from the jump.
Some girl, Shani, not going to remember, there was a girl who her first time, she was a porn star, so no shock there, but she was like, her first time was anal threesome. Do you remember that? It was some girl. I don't remember who it was, though.
Yeah. But it was her first time with anal play that this story was, and it was Curvy Mary.
Oh, it was Curvy Mary. Okay. Curvy Mary. Yeah, there we go.
That's like your first games in the World Series. It's like, shouldn't we get into spring training first? Let's just ease into the season, God damn it, before it's game seven.
Like, dude, right, so, from my perspective, I was like, dude, holy shit, I can't believe she's down. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wild.
Yeah. And then, of course, I like basically chicken out and choke up at the end, you know. But I have to say, too, I see Pretty Kitty up there, Shannon.
Yeah, it's this little guy. He always makes an appearance. Yeah,
you know what's funny, by the way, Shannon? I've been reading comments lately, people saying you should feed your cat. Like, they think you don't feed your cat. That's why he's up there. It's like, no.
He's fat. Just, do you see him?
My cat people are stupid. 20 years old and just went blind last year. But he still gets around. He walks down the stairs, jumps up on the couch. 20 fucking years old this guy is. That's
that makes cool. me feel so good because they're both of my cats are like 13 now and I start to get a little nervous. Yeah. But the fact that yours is 20, that makes me feel good.
And also Shannon is so old, the cats may outlive her.
Oh, goddamn.
Yeah, right.
All right. So the new album is called 1990. I know the next single's coming out Black Friday. When's the actual album coming out?
December 31st, New Year's Eve.
December 31st, New Year's Eve, my birthday, by the way. And you could go to at Black Light District on the Instagrams or blacklightdistrict.net for the website. The first single, that congratulations again, number one added last week, has got to get out of here. Anything else you want to plug before we go around the room?
No, man, just again, I appreciate you guys having me on the show. I've actually been familiar with the show for quite a while and I've watched a lot of interviews over the years. So it's just cool for me to be here. So thank you guys for having me. Again, the new album 1990 drops on New Year's Eve. I'm going to be out on the road in 2022. And yeah, at Blacklight District, LITE on all the socials. And yeah, man.
And pick up a Blacklight available soon on the store. James, your plugs?
Yo, the James Madden on Instagram. Also, my new album is now out. It's called The Check Spot. Recorded the worst part of the comedy show where the whole audience pays their bills and they're drunk. And I do a Q&A and it's fucking dope. And also want to give a shout out to this dude. Nice having a Mike Myers Halloween mask in the background of an interview. Nothing more metal than that shit. And a leather vest. And it's probably not even noon where we're talking to you. This man is devoted to the fucking metal. God damn right. Get the Check Spot album. Number one, baby. Yeah.
All right. Shannon, look at that. Shannon, at that, your plug, Shannon.
That's great. You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of people from all walks of life come on and tell their personal accounts of their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and their experience with the paranormal. And I know this isn't my show, and that's why I didn't want to ask, but it sounds like you have a near-death experience that you had, and I would love to hear about it if you'd like to come on my show.
Yeah, don't say it now. Tell on the show, because that would be great, because I'm guessing, by the way, I don't even have to guess, you do believe in ghosts. And that was statement made me feel that you do believe in ghosts. Am I right with that?
Not me personally, but...
Yeah, I was going to go, no.
You know, going like with what she just said with the OD in the hospital, I didn't really go into that much. But
well, don't go into it. Go on her podcast.
No, I will. There was a whole thing there. So I'd love to, Shannon.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right. So follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness comes out every Monday with the founder of Juice Press called the Good Sugar Podcast. And our first location of Good Sugar is opening before the end of the year, which I'm very excited about, Shannon. And that's really it. Dude, I knew it was going to be a good interview with you after watching a little bit of research. So again, thank you so much. I don't know what song to play. We usually add a song because there's only one goddamn song available right now and you played it. So Do you want to pick something from another record, or you want to say maybe by now Clear Skies, you know, Clear Skies will come out for another week or two, but maybe we can sneak that in somehow. We'll play. Maybe we can do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, if you want to. I mean, yeah, if you want to like premiere it or say it premiered on the show.
Yeah, that's great. We'll do that. So we'll add Clear Skies, and Clear Skies you can add on the SDRShow.com/playlist. Dude, thank you so much for being a part of the show. And we'll see you next week on the SDR Show.
Listening to the SDR Show.